San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB tonight. We'll explain later, but 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And now over to the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner and long-distance runner. He's a core member of Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable, and he's a family office expert to several high-net-worth families. I'm out of breath. Good evening, Richard Muzio. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. I'm also now a best-selling author, even though my book hasn't released yet.
Well, we'll explain that in a minute. How about this heat we're going through? Have you been dealing with, you're running any races in this stuff? Or
no, I won't worry. I ran, I think, about 8 miles this morning, but I went out at 6 a.m.
Well, you know what I've done?
So humid.
Yeah, I've downloaded an app, a pedometer app on my my smartphone, and I've been walking 10,000 steps a day, which isn't a lot. It's you got to add about two 20-minute walks into your day. And I'm feeling great, so good. I think I'm slimming down slowly, and then maybe I will trot some, one of these races with you.
Oh, Oceanside Turkey Trot in about 2.5 months.
You got it. Now, how have you become a best-selling author?
Well, so the ESPN piece came out Sunday night.
What was that
on TV,
all about?
And then Monday, the article, ESPN Magazine, the headline was Bobby Riggs threw Battle of the Sexes to pay off mafia gambling debt.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, the author of that for ESPN, Don Van Natta, he pointed out that he interviewed 50 people. I was one of the 50 that he interviewed. Obviously, I wasn't quoted in the article because I didn't give him anything to work with. It's an absurd proposition. Mm-hmm. And my criticism, and I suggested they come out and look at the scrapbooks because, we've got, of course, the PBS documentary releasing Tuesday night, September 10th at 8 mm-hmm. o'clock. My book, official release date, also Tuesday, September 10th. I said, you ought to come out and look at the scrapbooks because there's all kinds of material in here that would suggest that what you're suggesting you want to run as a story is totally and completely false. Because they didn't follow the money. I mean, Bobby had just received a divorce settlement of over $1 million tax-free
before 73. And you have the inside scoop on his financials.
I've got his 1973 tax return. I can't say how much money he made, but right. Put it this way. If he owed the mafia $100,000, he could have paid it out of $1 million divorce settlement, or right. He could have paid it out of how much money he made in 73. But then the cool thing that's in the scrapbooks is there's articles that say he actually had a signed deal to play Chris Everett after he beat Billie Jean, which mm-hmm. of course didn't happen. He lost to Billie Jean.
And he wanted to play her for $1 million, so he lost out on all that.
But that was $1 million. So why would somebody, to pay off right. forgiven $100,000 debt, forego the chance to make $1 million. So if you follow the money, it doesn't work like from three different angles.
The math doesn't work, especially with and of course, your wife Mary had the best comment. What was that?
Yeah, she said there's no way he lost on purpose because look at Bobby's face after he lost the last point to Billie Jean.
You couldn't fake that, right?
So this was big. This was all over the news on Monday and Tuesday. I mean, it was on Good Morning America. And journalism stinks in this country now because nobody really cares about facts or the truth. They only want to write stuff that attracts attention. It's like, these journalists want to put themselves in the news as opposed to reporting on the news objectively. And so we've been talking all week about what kind of response to do to this. Mm-hmm. And so we just finally decided yesterday to have a few folks pick up the book and have some people write reviews. And you did mm-hmm. as well, Joe. So thanks for doing
that. Yeah, well, the book's great.
But we had so much action. Deserved. We had mm-hmm. so much action in a 24-hour period that I went from number 3,500,000 on book rankings down to 64,000 and something.
And that makes you a bestseller already?
It makes you a bestseller when you move that fast in 24 hours.
Wow. Okay.
So and we haven't even officially released. So now I'll just be moving from bestseller to maybe number one bestseller at some point. But I moved over 3,400,000 spaces.
Well, thank you, ESPN, for that.
So, thank you, ESPN. And, I told those guys. I said,
yellow journalism and all that
Well,
jazz.
I told them don't run it, but then I was thinking, well, maybe if they run it, it'll be better for me. So it has been.
Well, their yellow is your green, so there you go.
Whatever.
So, anyway, so if you go to
That's the book news, iymoney.com.
Go there, or your So What's Your Play.com.
www.sowhatsyourplay.com.
Either or will work.
Got some great stuff. And, of course, by Thursday or so, ESPN had been bashed by literally every group who likes to blog or tweet.
Well, we'll talk more about it next week because we have interviews with Billie Jean King herself that we've already taped, but that'll be on there. And then James Erskine, the filmmaker who made both films, the one for PBS and the one that was just released in the UK called Battle of the Sexes. And so that'll be a great show. And then we have Chuck Lemonager. I always screw that up. But he was out there in Ramona, saw the very first match with Margaret Court.
He was Ray Watt's right-hand man.
Yeah, so he'll have a lot of great things to tell us.
So, we'll talk more about this next week.
Yeah.
So anyway, now you can introduce me as a best-selling author.
Okay, I got to throw that in there. Next
Maybe take out Star San Diego or something so you got room.
No, we'll just add it on.
Okay, we'll just add it on.
We got a whole hour with that.
Right. Anyway, we got a bunch of guests tonight because we're talking about collaboration.
Yes.
And so we should probably get around to introducing our guests.
Yes.
Do you want to do that or me?
Well, let's see. We've got the principals of Polito and Epic, Don Epic and Paul Polito, and we have from Family Legacy Legal,
Mr. Rich Gaines.
Mr. Rich Gaines. I think we missed the last couple of times. Rich, I was sick once, you were out once, so now I was glad to be reunited with everybody.
We thought you were going to be gone again, Joe. Every time I show up, you're
Joe, we thought you were sampling free wine at La Vie, like you happen every other Saturday night.
I was a little late.
By the way, we are live from La Vie in the KFMB studio because we can only fit 4 microphones at La Vie, and we need 5 microphones for tonight, so we had to move over here.
But we'll be back over there next Saturday and every Saturday thereafter.
Exactly.
Unless
we need 5 microphones for some reason again.
Unless we need the air conditioning again. I don't know. This is pretty nice.
Actually, I didn't think about that. Mark has no air conditioning in his office. We would have been roasting
We have ocean breeze there.
It's roasting over there.
Oh, it's hot.
Yeah. Well, right now, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But so this is good.
Everyone's comfy and everyone's got their Hawaiian shirts on or golf shirts. We're all nice and chilled here, so this is good.
So who wants to talk about collaboration? Anybody? Or we just keep talking about tennis.
Well, heck, I'll start.
Yeah, Rich,
I'm not fearful, so I love collaboration.
Well, I'd like to know how you guys even met originally, because I never heard of that story. Did you? How many years has it been, and how did you meet?
We met through Rich's old CPA firm, which is part of Paul's firm, and it was back in the
early 90s.
Yeah, early 90s, about 93, 94.
Right. 20 years ago.
And so we started doing a lot of work together and played tennis. And this guy is so good in tennis, and he beat me all the time. So then he lost his eyesight, and so I was able to beat him at that time.
But, once I lost my eyesight, I just started missing line calls. I'm like, Rich, if you're dumb enough to play tennis with a blind guy, that's your problem.
The rule is if you don't see it out, it's in, but he doesn't see it.
He
never saw it, so he just figured they're all out.
They're all out. On his side, they're all out,
Anyway, but back then it was Carter, Polito, and Musio.
That's right.
When.
Boy, that's a long time.
And you were just a little old sole practitioner with a little law practice trying to do living trusts.
That's exactly
Thank
what
goodness
I was doing.
You saw the light.
I saw the light and went big and went strong. And we were doing a lot of estate planning together. You know, you were one of the only guys really as a CPA in town that was doing real strong estate planning work. And that's really what the strong connection was, because we were doing a lot of advanced work. We were doing all the double discounts. I still do them. You know, I'm still working with people.
It was a different market, though, because back then we had an exemption of only $600,000 per spouse and then $1 million per spouse. And now it's $5.25 million per spouse. So that's really changed the landscape, that increase in the exemption, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's completely changed the landscape, and it's allowed us to innovate, really. We've had to do that. And so, you know, we've talked about this in past shows where our messaging is more about the family. It's about the governance. It's about how do we have the responsibility of wealth and prepare the next generations, and how do we create wealth inside of the family even today? What are those opportunities that exist for those that don't have the amount of wealth that's needed to protect from tax? And of course, if you're beyond the tax exemption, there's still a massive amount of planning that could be done in all the advanced areas. We've had this conversation about what's most important to the high net worth families. And it's about making sure that their kids are still productive, and they're not they don't just rely on the the money, and that they're doing
it's much more than money. And you were way ahead of the crowd, because many estate planning attorneys are still sitting around wondering what to do. I mean, back in the day when the exemption was only $600,000, we had 110,000 tax returns being filed a year where a family would actually pay estate tax. And now with the exemption of over $5 million, we'll only have maybe 3,000 estate tax returns filed this year where the family actually pays estate tax. So that means 97% of the market went away in terms of estate planning coming from living trust. But getting to Don and Paul, you guys as CPAs are different as well, just as Rich is different as an estate planning attorney, because you don't just sit around all day cranking out tax returns. You actually work with successful, closely held businesses, helping owners do what Rich is talking about, helping them not just improve their numbers, but improving their lives. Can you guys briefly describe why you're a little bit different and why that is different than what most CPAs do?
Well, to start with, most of our clients are, well, all of our clients are closely held businesses. So they're, you know, they're owned by an individual. They're not publicly
held. Yeah, I call them family businesses.
Family businesses or closely associated families. And typically there's a lot of planning opportunities just to save the annual income tax. And not only that, there are a lot of opportunities to help those folks make their businesses much more profitable. A lot of people that go into business are really good at what they do, contracting, whatever, but they don't really know much about money, and they don't know how to use financial information, and that's where we come in. And so,
yeah, it's about looking at the future. For example, in the CPA world, I would equate income tax returns and financial statements to be sort of similar products as I would in the estate planning world. That's how I would describe living trusts. They're important things because without a baseline, without a roadmap, without instructions, you can't really do planning. But they only go so far in terms of their value. The question becomes, what can you use these things for in terms of forward-looking applications, planning applications, helping businesses make more money, transferring businesses to the next generation while minimizing or avoiding the estate tax, helping families actually thrive and have better lives because of their ability to get more meaning out of their business than just money. In other words, what are you doing with all of these things?
Well, for us, we've been working on some new messaging, and we call it Building Legendary Futures Today. And the today part is really important because we're taking people from a security position, which is really just the traditional work of doing a will and trust, doing a tax return, doing life insurance. All these things are the commodities, they're the transactions. But when we start thinking about it, it's kind of like Maslow's hierarchy. If you start thinking about vision and purpose and satisfaction in your life, and you're thinking about your actualization, about really what you, you know, why are you here? What are you doing? How are you being generative to the community? How are you being collaborative with other people, strategic with other people, then we have a whole different messaging. And so when we talk about the idea that people don't have any taxation issues, and so what do you do in trust for? Why are they there? Well, it's because it's the meaning of what's in those trusts is more about a vision. And so I think that's what you're saying, Paul, when we're talking about these family-owned businesses that are looking at, they've created a job for themselves because that's what they're good at, but how do they create a business that is more community-oriented? How do they segue or build a culture for themselves, their family, their employees, you know, all the people that you're in business for? I mean, you guys have a large firm and you employ a lot of people. There's a lot of responsibility to those people.
Right. And usually what happens is these individuals need the assistance from attorneys, from bankers, from CPAs, from other consultants in order to reach those goals.
Yeah. And Don Epic, let me ask you a question, because you guys have one of the best, I don't know what you call it, a logo or a...
Slogan.
It's three words. It's slogan.
Beyond
yeah.
the balance sheet?
Yeah, beyond the balance. That's four words. Beyond the Are there any accountants in the room? Beyond the balance sheet is four words. but most firms say things like, you know, founded in 1946, or one of San Diego's oldest and largest CPA firms. Like, anybody would really care about that message. You guys say beyond the balance sheet. How did you come up with that, and what do you mean by that?
Well, really, it's looking beyond the balance sheet. It's pretty simple. You know, we... that's probably one of the biggest knocks that CPAs get. We're historians. We can tell you what you did last year, but the key is, what are you going to do this year? And what actions are you taking in order to make it a successful year? So what we implement are, for some businesses, it's as simple as budgeting. A lot of, you know, these guys that just come right
out
of... Yeah,
unbelievably, many businesses don't have a budget right down on paper, so to speak. I don't mean on paper, but, you know, on a screen, actually have it evidenced somehow.
Right. And so the idea is first set up a budget, identify what you're going to do for that year, and then forecast through the year. So now here we are, August 31st. We'll help clients forecast then through the end of the year. So then we can plan for tax purposes. We can plan for estate purposes.
Well, cash flow.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was just going to say cash flow profitability. Yeah.
I'd like to make a forecast right now that we're going to have to take a break right now. So, Don, why don't you fire that up? I mean, Dan, excuse me, and we'll be right back with more Is Your Money and Your Life right after this. Hang on. We got to fix up those promos there.
We're at the Lobby subsidiary.
Yes, we are.
Beautiful Kearney Mesa.
That's correct. And we're back with Richard Muccio, CPA, Don Epic and Paul Polito, both CPAs, and Rich Gaines, who's an attorney, talking all about family office businesses and things of that nature.
We're going to talk about collaboration. So I'm going to read this, gentlemen, and I want everybody to comment on it, put you on the spot. I was asked last week by Million Dollar Roundtable, which is the premier association of financial professionals. It's high-end life insurance people. They said, can you submit a proposal for an interesting topic to speak about at our national conference? I think it's in June of next year. And so I suggested this. Now, they may laugh me off of the list, but and bear in mind, these are financial professionals who tend to be life insurance-based and wealth advisory or assets under management-based. So I wrote this, and I wrote it in the context of the CPA profession, but you could say the same thing, I think, about estate planning, the estate planning profession for legal. I wrote, the CPA profession is undergoing a dynamic and rapid transformation from providing traditional services such as income tax preparation and financial statement preparation to becoming the trusted business advisor. The AICPA, which is CPA's national organization, is in fact aggressively branding the CPA as such. Acceptance of this new dynamic will be critical for the future success of any CPA or CPA firm. More important, the insurance and wealth advisor must not only be aware of this shift, but must also possess the knowledge, tools, and relationships necessary in order to meaningfully engage the CPA profession and enable them to indeed flourish as the trusted business advisor. Those advisors who understand and embrace this new world order will ultimately not only increase their revenues and value of their practices, but will also have more time available to enjoy a well-rounded life. Anybody want to comment on that?
I'd love to.
Go ahead.
As a trusted advisor, what you got to realize is these clients know you know everything about them, and so they ask. I mean, they're asking for help all the time. They're asking for guidance all the time.
But Paul, it's not always necessarily a CPA-centric ask, right?
No, most of the time it's not.
Okay.
And that's what's so beautiful about our profession. We're kind of like the playmaker in a game, you know. You hook them up with a bank, or you hook them up with an attorney, or you hook them up with a business valuation specialist, or you hook them up with whatever they might mm-hmm. need for the given need. And a lot of times, more comes from that. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for so long. I've had some clients.
Well, Paul, you were doing this.
You
were doing this before it was considered a trend in the CPA world, right? Because when I met you almost 25 years ago, you were doing this.
Right. It was because I didn't know anything.
Well, no, Paul, I've reviewed some of your tax returns. You're not a tax guy. Just joking. All of Paul's clients are getting great tax work. But that's not what the value is. So I'm sorry. So yeah, you've been doing this a lot longer because the AICPA has only been branding the profession this way for like the last 2 years.
Right. But my degree's in management and I am a CPA. And I know what CPAs do, but I really like to do a lot of the other stuff. And so I've always associated with specialists.
Yeah, and so you're saying that to be able to do that, you've got to be able to have a platform in place or create a platform where you have access to some of the brightest minds in many disciplines that are complementary to the CPA profession, whether that's legal or accounting or business management. Risk mitigation or risk control.
Banking valuations.
Valuation. All kinds of different things. Because I always tell people if the important client asks the question and you haven't created this thing in advance, you're stuck.
Right.
I'd
like to pick up on that because I think that the context is that it becomes client-centric. That we're looking at what are the needs and values and opportunities for the client that we can create as being proactive as an advisor, as opposed to just simply, you said it a little earlier, where you had your head down and you didn't know where the furniture mm-hmm. was because you came into your office and you did your work and you put out a product.
I didn't even know we had a lunchroom, Rich.
You didn't even know you had a lunchroom.
And we did, I know, no, apparently so.
And obviously the work still is important. It still has to get done. You still need tax returns done. You still need, legal work done.
But there's
done.
These words like process and workflow now that technology is where it is. Because I think Paul made the point, the business clients understand that the value isn't in the living trust or the tax return. It's in what it can mean.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the technology and the process has made it easier to perform those tasks for the client that they need. But, you know, as we've been suggesting here, that being an advisor means looking out at what are the client needs, what's the relationship that you establish, what are their pain points, what are their desires, what are the things that challenge them, the obstacles that they want to get over, and the places that they want to get to in their life.
And I'd say that depends on the size of the client, because we'll have a number of clients that are, say, less than $1 million in revenues, and they may only have us as a CPA as their number one advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And issues come up where we'll recommend they need to talk with a business transaction attorney, an estate attorney. Maybe they need a new or a formal banking relationship. And so those are the things that we graduate them from, you know, the ground level up to the next level. And then we get up to clients that are in that 20 to 50 million range. And we're coming in as sometimes they may not have a CFO qualified person on board, and we'll act as that CFO.
That model is becoming more popular, because at that size, you don't necessarily have enough scale to have a full-time, highly paid CFO.
Right. Someone who's going to pay, you know, $150,000 to $200,000
right.
a year.
Because they might need you 25% capacity, 50% capacity
correct.
Of that position.
Well, right.
But, gents, time is flying right now, and unfortunately, we have to take another break. We'll be right back with new after new sports and weather, more of It's Your Money in Your Life. Hang on. And we're back with Don Epic, Paul Polito, CPAs, and Rich Gaines, attorney, and of course CPA Richard Musio, back with more. So where do we leave off, Richard? Where do you want to go now?
It's sponsor time.
Oh, that is
we
correct.
Want to thank La Valencia, the lovely hotel in La Jolla that we normally are at when we don't need five microphones. So mm-hmm. thank you, La V. We miss our wine, we miss our pork. But we're doing the best we can over here in our satellite office. We'll be back next week to mm-hmm. talk about, well, tennis and books. Actually, we're talking about legacy next week.
Mm-hmm.
People might think it's tennis, but it's really legacy. But thank you, La V. We can't do without you. Michael Carranza and Drew Freitas with UBS. Also just down the street, Regents Bank. I mean down the street from La V and UBS, Regents Bank, the best business bank in San Diego. Again, a great show 2 weeks ago with Sean Puckett and his client Joe DeBona from ITAV Solutions, the second fastest growing company in San Diego. Our new daddy, Jason Kruger, with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company on the planet. Joel Gruskin and Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited. I'll get to that information request you sent me for the job I sent you, Carl, maybe by Tuesday. It was a busy week last week because of my dang book.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, no time to work. And then, of course, our two guests tonight, Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal, and of course, Polito Epic CPAs, Don Epic CPA and Paul Polito CPA. So let's get back. Oh, Joe, where can our wonderful listeners find out about our wonderful sponsors?
Well, they just click on iymoney.com, go to the sponsors tab. All the great information is there. Contact information.
Everything you need is there.
Absolutely. And I'm assuming some of these gentlemen here know some of our other sponsors as well, right?
It's a rather close knit
community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We really actually do this collaboration thing. Speaking of which, Mr. Rich Gaines, I'm going to let Rich speak first and then Don Epic. I know it's hard for people to know who's necessarily jumping in here, but Rich, through the Center for Wealth and Legacy, you've got an interesting event coming up, but I noticed your speaker is Mr. Art Barter, the founder of the Servant Leadership Institute. Art was a guest on the show maybe 2.5-3 months ago, and then he did a great job speaking for me at Star San Diego about a week and a half ago at our La Jolla luncheon. Tell us about that, September 18th.
Yes, absolutely. We're having a program. It's called the Business Legacy Mentoring Program, and this is a collaborative effort that is very unique in the community that I don't think anything's been like it. You know, I've been in the community for over 20 years, and we all go to our networking groups, and we all go to different programs and different events, and you see in one group that you get a little bit of facilitation, you see in another group it's all lecture and you totally get put to sleep, and another group is a little bit of networking, but it's all transaction-based, you're really not developing a lot of relationships, and what we wanted to do is put this whole, all three modalities together. So it's called the Business Legacy Mentoring Program. The idea is we're going to have a little bit of networking to begin with. Art Barter is going to be our featured speaker at the kickoff event for inspiration. And that's the difference. It's about getting inspired to take your business to a new level, about what it means in the community and the culture of your business. And then we're going to actually have facilitation where we have business coaches who are facilitators in this community helping to facilitate around the speech and the information information that Art will be talking about. So it's an opportunity to get all three, not only networking, but an inspirational speech, as well as some real facilitation and accountability for your business. So you can go back to your business, have some real tangible tools to take away, and then be held accountable to that by some of the facilitators. So that, and we're looking to do, it's a series breakfast, so we're going to be doing this every other month, and we're very excited about it. So the kickoff is September 18th. It's from 7:05 to 9 o'clock in the morning at the offices of Corporate Alliance, which is 9171 Town Center Drive. We're very excited. It's about experiencing, it's about engaging, and it's about expanding. Engaging with other people, expanding your awareness and consciousness about what you're doing in business to the community and to others, and how you really implement your business as a vision and purpose and the idea of collaboration. So we're very excited.
Where can we get some more information about that, Rich? Is there a website, or where could people register?
You can go to the Center for Wealth and Legacy. You can also click on the Business Legacy Mentoring program, and that'll hook you into the Center for Wealth and Legacy, and there'll be a registration page for that. You can also contact our offices as well.
Okay.
www.familylegacylegal.com.
Yeah, and Art Barter's worth the price of admission, so to speak. His presentation about servant leadership is incredible.
Servant leadership, and he, of course, is the chairman or CEO of Datron, which...
Yeah, he's moved from being the CEO to the chairman position because he wants to spend more time on the Servant Leadership Institute.
And his story about how he took Datron from a company that was, for all intents and purposes, blacklisted with the military and made it into a multi-hundred million dollar company.
But beyond that, a company that's doing significant work in the community, locally as well as, well, worldwide in some cases.
Exactly. And the perspective with the servant leadership is that he focuses on his employees. He's saying, how do we help our employees? How do we focus on them? How do we make sure they get what they need? I see it in my company. You know, you were talking before how I was by myself as a sole practitioner, and we have a law firm now that, you know, we're expanding. We have strategic relationships, and it is really making sure that the people that are there are taken care of, and it really comes back around. It's very gratifying.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Don Epic, you have a story about tomatoes. How's that for a segue?
Oh, yes. Okay. We were just talking about this on the break. This had to be 15 years ago. One of our clients, tomato grower, his big issue in the first year or two that I was working with him, I was trying to find a way that I could communicate to him explaining the financial numbers. And when I realized, it took me a little while, but I realized if I broke things down into boxes of tomatoes, then I would get through to him. And so I looked at that experience as a way for me to develop that trusted relationship. And that's what we're about, is long-term relationships with our clients. It's not about hit and miss, just cranking, you know, returns out, et cetera. And this has become actually a really wonderful relationship. And it really came to the point of where I had to go to at his level, or at his paradigm, where I could communicate the best. It couldn't be at talking about financial ratios or, you know, certain things on the balance sheet. It had to be at boxes of tomatoes. And then how did that transfer into the discussion?
He didn't want to talk about accelerated depreciation.
Yeah,
it's so exciting.
I'd put him to sleep.
For me, it reminds me of a book about listening, that when we listen to others and how they best express themselves, and we're able to listen to the way that they're expressing themselves, whether they are a planner or they're an energizer person or whether they are a relationship person. And when we can listen and hear how they want to be communicated to, it makes such a difference. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you're talking about, Don.
Yeah, I'll tell you an interesting story. I met with the head of a family office a number of months ago, who I might wind up working with. We're still going back and forth trying to identify scope and so on, because their issues don't really center around anything obvious. They have more to do with the things that we're talking about. And the we'll call him the patriarch of the family, even though he's now third generation. My first question to him, which he didn't expect from the CPA, I said, what are the key values of your family and your family-owned business? And he had this blank look on his face. He said, I've never had a professional ask me that question before. I said, well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I said, but I can't really help you unless I know what your key values are. In other words, why are you here? What are you trying to do? you know, I can look at your tax return later, but, you know, what is it that's key to you, critical to you? And I found that sad that he was so surprised that I would ask that question, because he knows all kinds of every CPA, attorney, wealth advisor, insurance specialist on the planet wants to work with this person, but nobody's ever asked him what his key values are. I was just shocked by that. But then I was thinking that probably sort of summarizes a lot of industries who tend to lead with your artillery. You know, I'll save you taxes. I'll got the next great technique. Paul and I were talking on the way over about the next great tax savings technique that some guy's marketing. That's not the most important thing to owners of closely held businesses. Yeah, they want to pay less income tax, but they have things that are much more compelling to them. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Definitely agree with that. And it becomes a question of, again, I think perception and how they're maybe used to doing business. And so when we take them out of that traditional mindset and we look at, you know, caring, what's their pain points? You know, what's meaningful to them and their family? What's important? What's causing them difficulty? And when we can open up that conversation, all the other strategies or tactics, I guess, flow into the strategies. And yeah, it's a very gratifying way of approaching it.
Yeah, so I've had this discussion with a lot of professionals. I believe that for professionals to truly collaborate, there's got to be some changes within professional service firms' business models. For example, charging by the hour might not fit. I think more fixed pricing where the customer or the client knows your pricing. I think being in the cloud is becoming important, because if you are a multitude of professional advisors working on the same situation for a client, you have to all have access to the same information. I was just wondering, let me start with our CPAs first. What are your thoughts about things like changing business models, for example, in the CPA world with pricing, being in the cloud, the security that surrounds that? Are you finding that clients are expecting those things from you?
Clients love fixed pricing. They love to know what they're going to pay for their services, for the relationship, really. And that's the way I explain it. It's really the relationship, and if you're selling hours, you're not selling a relationship.
Yeah, that's just input. Hours are input.
Right.
Right.
What clients are in is what comes out.
Right.
And for us, that's a relationship.
Also, on the workflow, as far as transferring data digitally, having that, you know, we have a client portal where all of our clients can access tax returns, financial statements, and they, you know, the owner can have the secretary or the administrative assistant obtain that information.
In other words, you can grant access to other users.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, you know, in this digital age, we need to be just as good as the next guy. And not necessarily in our industry, but in other industries, what the expectation level is.
Oh, the expectation level, I think, from successful clients is high, because the clients are becoming more savvy as there's more information out there. I know some of the information is dangerous on the internet and so on, but the clients feel that they know more. It was always sort of a mystery, I think, as to how the CPA profession worked for a lot of business owners back in the days of paper and so on. Everything we did was sort of hidden, and then magically we'd produce some sort of product. But now I think they see that they should demand more and expect more out of their service advisors than just the basic services like tax returns and financial statements. Mm-hmm. Rich, are you finding the same thing in the law practice? I mean, you're not charging by the hour, right?
Not really. Most of our work is completely project-based or value-based. Yeah. In one way or another. And as far as the cloud model, I think that the cloud is in the legal arena. It's still a bit at its beginning, because of some of the confidentiality mm-hmm. issues. You can't just stick something in Dropbox and then everybody has access to everything. So mm-hmm. it has to be partitioned off, and that's just because some of the ethical rules in the legal profession. But we're starting to look at virtual-based strategic collaboration, and I've met some other attorneys who are building out that model as well. So it's moving in that direction. And I think it makes it a lot easier. It's paperless. We're PDFing documents over to clients just mm-hmm. as a matter of standard course now. It actually makes it easier for us rather than to have to do all the copying and all the extra stuff.
Paper's not efficient.
I mean, we've got to take a break right there.
Oh, do we have to?
Yeah, one okay. more. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life right after this. Hang on. All right, back from the home stretch of It's Your Money in Your Life with Don Epic, Paul Polito, Rich Gaines, and over to Richard Nuccio for the last segment here.
Hey, I can hear the the waves crashing against the shore
in the parking lot of KFMB. Yes,
those are the planes coming over. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, we're only about 10 minutes away from.
Paul had a good story at the break.
Yeah, though. Paul had a good story. So, Paul, tell your good story, because it's a really good story. And Rich had a great question. So Rich, ask the question when Paul's done with the story. So Paul, don't answer the question. Just tell the story.
So this guy at church knows that I'm a CPA, and he comes up to me and he says, I'm in trouble. He says, I've been wishing I could get out of this business and retire for years and years, and I just got blindsided by this wonderful offer, and I got 6 weeks to get everything together. Can you help me? And I looked at the situation. His taxes were a mess. His books were 6 months behind. It was hard to kind of figure out where everything was, but fortunately, because I've been doing this so long, I knew experts that could help us. So I contacted a business valuation expert.
You could mention his name because he's a Carl sponsor Sheeler. Of this show. Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations
and,
Limited.
Carl helped us parcel out part of the value of the business so we could get it out of the corporation in the form of personal goodwill. We found a bookkeeping service for him that got his books all caught up and taught him what he was doing wrong and got that all straightened out. Our audit team pre-audited his files for the due diligence examination. The due diligence team came in and said they'd never seen such a clean acquisition. This is a company that's rolling these businesses up all over the world. And in 6 weeks, the guy had a check. It was wonderful. It was musical.
You're a hero.
And I did very little. You know, it was...
Well,
but that's a great example of a collaborative effort.
It is.
And the question that I had is you talked about you were in management. So you were the thread, or what was the thread that kept everybody together? How did you cohesively manage everybody so that the egos weren't involved, that everybody did what they were supposed to do for the benefit of the client?
Well, thank goodness by now I know people that don't have egos that just like to do great work. And they all did, and they came through for me in a hurry, which was really nice. And I didn't feel like I was calling in any favors. These were people that just worked this way.
Right, but Rich, you used the word the thread. That's the thing that's frequently missing. Many professionals talk about collaboration, but unless there is a thread or a hub or a concierge, whatever word you want to use, quarterback, point guard,
yep.
If you don't have that in place, it's not going to work. Now, that can be a CPA, that can be an attorney, it can be a wealth advisor, it can be any different kind of professional, but it has to be somebody. Otherwise, wouldn't you agree this doesn't work?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I think that's true. I think it doesn't work that way. My particular belief is that the person who has the client and is bringing the client to the relationship should be the thread. And even if you're not doing the lion's share of the work, which Paul was just saying, he didn't do the lion's share of the work, but it's Paul's client. And there's enough value and there's enough revenue and there's enough benefit for everybody in that collaborative relationship in my particular, you know, feeling.
Right, but the challenge is the clients frequently have this uneasy feeling that they're not getting full value out of their service advisors, particularly if their CPA, attorney, wealth advisor is sort of old-fashioned in their approach. So in some cases, and I want to ask, what do we do in this case? The person with the relationship or the best relationship is sort of old-fashioned and so therefore isn't really capable of being the thread. What happens then?
Well, you know what? We're going to have to leave
that for you're going to have to call these gentlemen.
Because we have to get off the air in 1 minute. But,
we have to get off the air in one minute.
But Don Epic, Paul Polito, Epic Results and Polite Service, Rich Gaines, Family Legacy Legal. Always a pleasure to have you here. And Richard Musio, have a great week. Always great collaborating with you gentlemen. Next week it's Billie Jean King. It's all about tennis. We're back at La Vie.
No, so it's about legacy.
And legacy, of
That's
course.
My favorite topic, legacy.
That too.
Exactly.
But thanks to Dan
September
Noon.
September 18th.
Yeah, thanks to Dan
September
Noon on the board. And
September
18th.
Center for Wealth and Legacy.
Right, and thanks to Dave Smith, our program genius, Craig Blank, our account executive, and everyone have a great week. Keep cool out there. We'll see you next week from La Valencia. Good night.